Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Can you imagine if you worked on Wall Street and you're one of the top performers within the financial markets? I mean, you're just some hotshot young money manager, and all of a sudden all the clients are coming your direction and everybody wants a little piece of your action. Well, guess what happens? This research came out in Harvard Business Review several years ago, and here's what they found out. They found out that as soon as somebody was the new hotshot money manager, all the other big Wall Street banks wanted to grab them. And they were giving them unbelievable offers to come over to their bank. Why? Because they wanted them to bring all of the clients with them. And so these people were recognized as nines or tens. And so Harvard, when they did the research, it was really amazing. Here's what they decided is, Nines and tens, they know they're good. I don't care if it's a downtime. I don't care if it's COVID. They know they're good. And so they can always kind of be looking around a little bit. They can always be saying, hey, there are other opportunities out there. They can always be looking for somebody to pay them a little bit more money. But then they found out that there is a time when nines or tens stop looking around, and when they settle down, and when they stay, and when they're happy, and you don't even have to pay them as much money. You know what that was? It's when, for the first time ever, they felt like they were around other nines and tens. They went, these are my people. I like it here. This is my team. Let's go. Well, I remember reading that research and thinking, oh my goodness, I start to see a pattern here in my past life. I've had many great positions up to that time, but I was about to go and lead the largest leadership development firm in the world for John Maxwell. And I thought, I know he's already got some nines or tens. I know that we're going to have to recruit some others if we're going to accomplish some of the things that I had told John that we would accomplish if I came as his new director there. And so it was game on. How was I going to do it? How could I learn to become that kind of a leader? And then how can you learn to become that kind of a leader? Well, there's three things that you have to know when you are going to recruit and empower and hold on to truly exceptional leaders. First one is you have to challenge them. They will always, always, always respond to a challenge. Here's the thing. You get a good leader and they're like, tell me what to do. I'm really happy to be here. And they'll go and lead. But a nine or a 10, it's not that way. No. It's not a tell me what to do. It is like, what has to be done? Oh, I could do that in my sleep. It doesn't hold their interest. What has to be done? Wow, that would be impossible. Okay, let's go. And so when it comes to challenge, you have to ask some hard questions, even in the interview process. Do you know the number one challenge faced right now today by Fortune 500 HR directors? It is recruiting people who have already gone to AI and said, what are the most popular interview questions? What are the best answers to interview questions? And so they have all these questions and they have all these answers. What about questions that you could never AI the answer to? What about the questions that are really, really hard out there? The things that you go, oh my goodness, I'm not even sure where to go with that one. I had started deriving a sense of questions and I got with the person who led the HR and some of those things for BMW, the cars. And so we started putting together, what are some of the best questions that we could ask nines or tens? And they were questions like this, like, hey, I'm really glad you're meeting with me today. And your background here, it really makes you a compelling prospect for this job. But I want to get a sense of your personal strategic goals over the next 4 or 5 years. Let's talk about those. Tell me about some of the goals that you've had and why you didn't accomplish them yet. and then how you would hope that you could accomplish them here. Well, all of a sudden they're like, wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. Usually everybody else is just in there kind of, kissing their feet and saying how much they want them. I want to know about what is it that's been a challenge in their life and what can we do more? But let me tell you my favorite question. My favorite question when I was going after really, really top people is I would say this. You know what? There are people who we'll never have great chemistry with. And so a lot of times what we do in our jobs is we meet somebody like that and it's not going to work out that great. So we let them go. We maneuver them out of the company. That's not that much of a skill, though. So what I'd like to hear from you is, when is the time in your life that instead of moving them out of the company, you spent the extra time to figure out what it was going to take to get them to achieve at the highest levels? And so you got them into the company and doing their very best, and it ended up working out, even though you didn't originally have chemistry. Tell me about one of those instances. And it makes people kind of sit back and go, well, okay, anytime that you can be in an interview and you can make somebody sit back and go, well, okay, you know that you're asking the right types of challenging questions. So remember, step one, you always, 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 you have to challenge them. What's step number two? Step number two, to recruit and to hold on to truly exceptional, nines or tens, great people. You know what it is? Clarity. Clarity, clarity, clarity. I wrote an article several years ago. I got picked up on LinkedIn and tossed around a lot on the internet. Why? I think it was the timing of the article. It wasn't necessarily the subject matter. It was right before Christmas. And I said, hey, here are the two best gifts you can give your executive team members for Christmas this year. You know what they are? Number one, clarity. Number two, empowerment. Those are the last two things we're going to look through right now. Clarity, what do we mean by clarity? If you have somebody who's truly exceptional, they have to know what responsibility do they have and what responsibility do they not have. There was an incredible study done when it came to clarities and boundaries not that long ago. Here's what they did is they had a playground equipment, like a big jungle gym, and they did it in a playground situation at a school. And so they had all these little kids, and they said, okay, you can go out and you can play on the playground equipment. Well, these were not the older kids in the school. These were some of the younger kids in the school. And so guess what they did? They'd all run over to the jungle gym and they'd just stay right there, but they all just hung on to the jungle gym. They didn't move. And then what they did one day is they ended up building a little fence around it. They built boundaries around the jungle gym. For the first time ever, those kids came down off the jungle gym and they started using all of the space around them all the way up to the boundaries. Why? Because when they had clarity in their life and they knew that all of this was going to be safe, outside of that, it wasn't safe. Oh my goodness. Then they could start to take advantage more and more of the situations. After that, they took that study with kids and they started to say, does that apply in the work world? Does that imply in our own leadership? And they found out it did. One of the best things that you can do for great leaders is to ask them, exactly what do you want to do? And do you know where you have clarity and when you don't? Some of the sharpest leaders I've personally ever met in my life, I asked them this question. Is there anywhere in the world within your job situation right now where you really need more clarity? And they sit and they think and they go, no, I don't think so. And here's all I want to do, give them a raise, hire them. Why? Because they have been proactive and they have gone out and they could have found out, what can I do? What can I not do? And so they say, I have to operate within this realm right here and I can kill it there. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to go get permission. I can do whatever it takes. You have to give your top leaders clarity. Last thing that you have to give them is empowerment, empowerment. Now, let's talk about empowerment, because everyone talks about, oh, empowering leaders. No, most people get it way, way, way wrong on this. Let's go all the way back to the root word of empowerment. It wasn't ever used until the 1600s. And it came from, this is not rocket science. It came from two words, M and power. Empower, right? But M, if you look at the root word for that, you know what it is? It's not M, it's them. It's them. It's the other person. Other person power. That's where that root came from. It's like I have this big pitcher, and instead of having liquid in it, it has, well, let's say it's liquid. It's not even liquid courage. You know what it is? It's my power in a situation. And then I take a big glass, and that's their glass, and I take my pitcher, and I pour my power into their glass, and I hand it to them. Here's where we get it wrong. So often we want to fill that glass half with water first and dilute their power or let them know, okay, you're in charge, but ultimately I'm still in charge. Let me ask you a question. Why? Why did you do that? Do you think Jamie Dimon at JP Morgan Chase, that he's got all these incredible people working all over the world for him, that he goes around saying, well, ultimately I'm really in charge here. I'll make the decisions. Are you kidding me? There's no way. He goes and finds unbelievable ladies and gentlemen who can make decisions and do their very best work, and he fully empowers them. When you have that picture, you take it out of you, you give it to them. Now somebody comes to you and they go, hey, Dr. Rob, what should I do in this situation? I'll say, I don't know, go ask Mary. Well, yeah, I know, but you're in charge, you're the CEO. I said, yeah, but I'm not in charge of that area. I gave Mary, I empowered her, she's in charge of that area. Yeah, I know, but she's not here today. And so can I just, I said, excuse me, if you ask me one more time, this isn't going to go well for you. I'm not in charge of that area. Mary's in charge of that area. When I need to know what's going on in that area, guess what I do? I go ask Mary, because she's a great leader and she has been fully empowered. Hey, friends, one of the problems that I see with so many leaders, and they're good leaders, they're good people, but they don't fully empower others. You cannot fully empower a 6, a 7, maybe even an 8, but you want to keep a 9 or a 10 around, you better fully empower them. And they've got to know it. And guess what they're going to do sometimes? Blow it, make mistakes, really do something they shouldn't have done. You know why? Because they're fully human, just like you. What, are you going to say you've never blown it? You've never made mistakes? You've never been vulnerable enough to admit all of this stuff? Hey, when I have leaders that make mistakes, I just think, oh my goodness, I would have made so many more mistakes by this time than they have in that particular area. But do they know? I mean, people will die for you. They will not let you fail if they know that you care for them, you've given them clarity, and you've fully empowered them. So anytime I was running a big company or a big operation, I felt like I had 4 or 5 other people who I worked with, worked alongside of, who I was responsible for, but they were running their own company. It just happened to be a very small part of my company. And so together, that was theirs. That was 100% theirs. They ran their part, I ran my part, and we all did our very, very best for each other. Now, I promised when we were coming up to this talk that I was going to say, hey, how do you find 9s or 10s? How do you recruit them? How do you hold on to them? But then how do you make sure that you are a 9 or 10? How do you continue in that journey? How can you continue in your leadership and be a lifelong learner? This entire day that has been put together by the Leadership Academy or by Jose and all the great people, it's all about leadership. I mean, we're the connected leaders, right? Are you really growing in your leadership? There are 6 areas that the research shows would be what they would be called grandparent areas. Why? You work on these areas and it's like they're the parents and then they're the grandkids underneath them. They're the grandparent areas that you work on these and it lifts up everything else. 6 areas, things that you can do so that you can make sure that you are becoming a 9 or a 10, or if you're a 9 or a 10, you're going to keep going. You know what I do is I love hiring leaders and they say, that person's great, aren't they? I said, yeah, on a 1 to 10, they're about a 14. I don't ever want to hire a leader that's wherever I am. I always want to hire somebody better than me and I want to love them and I want to empower them. But what can you do? 6 areas. Let's start with the first one. The first one is vision. Vision. Kuzes and Posners have done, they've done more leadership research than anyone else. Over 30 years, asking over 10 million people different questions. Unbelievable, the books they've come out with, things like Leadership Challenge and others. But one of my favorites that they did is called The Truth About Leadership. And here's what they found out. All of us who say we want to follow certain people, they ask why. The number one thing, the reason that you or I would give why we want to follow somebody else is because they're trustworthy. Number two is that they have vision. They have vision. They can articulate a place that is a preferred future that we want to go to. So let me ask you a question. As a leader, me as a leader, do I truly have a preferred place that I want to go to? Do I have a better tomorrow? Can I articulate that in a way that makes other people want to go along with me? Number one was a vision. Number two is they share their mistakes. They share their mistakes. Hey, if you can't tell, this isn't my living room. I'm in a hotel room. It's a fancy hotel. It's down in Dallas. And I was here last night with a company that two out of the last 3 years, they've won the top growth company as far as helping other businesses go in and do strategic growth plans. And so they did their big Christmas gathering, and I was part of that, and we had fun. Had some younger leaders at the table I was at, and we were all in our nice suits and ties. As a matter of fact, I had on a darker suit, and I had this little purple pocket square going on, and I had this purple tie going on last night, right? So I had the dark suit and the purple pocket square, and it was looking good. And my pocket square, my tie was down. You know, I had my tie on, and it was down, and I had my napkin in my lap, and I had some food on my mouth, so I lifted up my napkin to wipe my mouth, and I went like that, and my tie was on top of my napkin, and I wiped out my tie last night. Could you believe it? I wiped my mouth on my tie right in front of all these other people. First thing I did is the ones who didn't see it, I made sure they heard about it. I said, did you guys see what I just did? I can't believe it. My wife's going to kill me. She was sitting right next to me. You know, this is an expensive tie, but I used my napkin, but my tie was there, and I wiped my mouth. Oh, well, it's going to be a great dinner. And so they kind of got a kick out of it. And then they started saying, hey, I was at this one place. Here's this one thing I did. When leaders can admit their mistakes, it does something where it makes other people lean in. It makes them want to be near you. As soon as you like, I don't make mistakes, I'm fine. What it does is it helps other people. It tells them in their brain, it's a neurological function. It says, I'm not sure if this person's safe or not. You need to be safe. You want to be a 9 or a 10? First thing, you have vision. You can articulate a preferred future. Number two, you are going to admit your mistakes. And that goes right into the next one, which is vulnerability. Vulnerability. The number one way to actually get trust. And remember, that was number one. Was trust that they decided people we want to follow, we trust them. Number one way to do that is to be vulnerable, to share something about yourself. Maybe it's your own insecurity, something that's been happened in your life or something where you're a little scared. And here's what the research said, and I love this. It said, if you want to be a trusted leader, you have to be vulnerable, and leaders have to go first. Leaders have to go first. And then the scariest paragraph of all right after that. Leaders have to go first, and there is no promise that they will be reciprocal. You have to go first, but there's no promise they're going to be reciprocal. You do your part. But here's what I found. The best leaders, as soon as you do that, they find you as safe. They find you as honest. As soon as they believe you're honest, they can trust you more, and we can get a relationship that grows so much closer, so much faster. So first one was that vision, you have to have it. Second one, you're going to be honest about your mistakes. These are six things the research shows how you can become a 9 or a 10, or keep going, be a 12 or a 14. Third one was vulnerability. The fourth one was time, and this is different than vision. Your how you look at time. Harvard Business Review came out with an article, I don't know, this is going to be about 4 years ago. The name of the title of it is what the four things the best CEOs do differently. And one of the things in there that just shocked me is because so many people, especially today, and I'm not knocking them, and in the context, what they're about to say is right, but check this out. They say things like this. I've got to live in the moment. You got to be in the moment. Well, what they did is they asked which CEOs of these great companies, which ones of them were able to pivot and to be the most flexible. I mean, the economy changed, the industry changed. They had to be able to change. If they were the same old, guess what? They got swallowed up by the competition. And that they found that the people who were the very best at leading companies, to the ones who could pivot the fastest, they were the ones who were living in the moment, because then they could pivot, right? Wrong. And that's what blew me away. It was the ones who spent the most time in long-term thinking. Here's what they said. As leaders, almost anyone who's leading an organization, you're always going to be thinking in terms of 2-3 weeks ahead of time. Hey, what do we got to be doing? But then you get into medium-term thinking, and those are going to be 1 to 3 months ahead of time. And those are much better leaders, because they're not just saying, what do we got going on now, but what's coming up with the next line of clothes that are coming out? What's coming out next spring? What do we have to do to reorganize our company? But the very best leaders were the long-term thinkers, and they were 6 months out and belong. And they found out this, that the leaders who spend at least 50% of their time in long-term thinking, watch this, it's unbelievable, at least 50% of their time in long-term thinking, they were the best at being flexible today. I was blown away. I could not believe it. Why was that? It's because since they had a vision of the future, they could deal with today. Okay, the next one, get help when you need it. Get help when you need it. Go say, hey, lean in. Hey, guys, I'm not sure if you can help me, but I'm really going to need some advice here. As soon as you say that, you watch what happens to your team. They all lean in. That's number 5 and 6. And one of my favorites, take full responsibility for your actions. You take full responsibility. If there's a mistake made anywhere in my organization, I always want to say this. Anything good that happens, give away the credit. Anything bad that happens, I'll take full responsibility. You don't always get to do that, but take full responsibility. Is there anything worse than someone on the team who's always going, well, that wasn't my fault. That wasn't my fault. Okay, let's sum this up. People say, how in the world did you get to lead the largest leadership organization for John Maxwell? And I just want to tell you about the interview. Several of you have heard this before, but we were talking about getting in behind the borders of every nation in the world. I said, John, if you hire me, we're still going to see that dream fulfilled. He said, Rob, I'm not sure if we can do it. And I leaned forward and I said, John, if you hire me, we will either reach every nation, or when they find my body, it will be pointed in that direction. And he went, he turned over to Mark Cole, his CEO of all of his companies. And Mark's kind of like, and he turned over to Tom. Tom's one of his best friend who had brought me to the table. And he goes, I told you, because Tom is the one who had said, do you know Rob McClellan? You should. And he goes, yeah, I know Rob. You should interview him for this. And then John looks over at me and he leans forward and he goes, okay, you're hired. Can you get it done in 3 years? I said, John, it's taken you 17 years. You still got 20 of the hardest countries to go. There's no possible way that we could get all of those really hard. How are you going to get North Korea? I mean, come on. In 3 years, are you kidding me? That was all inside my head. What came out of my mouth is, yes, sir, let's go. And we got it done in 18 months. How? I didn't get it done. I recruited some truly remarkable people, 9s and 10s and 12s and 14s. And we gave them clarity and we gave them empowerment and we worked together and we trusted each other and we had the vision and we went there together. Friends, you can do it. You can be the best leader you can be, and it's attractive to others. Hey, I'm Dr. Rob. Who loves you? You know it's me. Much love. Thank you so, so much for the privilege of being here.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.